I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play, because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com. Okay. It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Welcome to The First Cut. I'm Greg Ducharme, joined today by Mark Immelman. And this is our emergency podcast today with some new breaking news in the world of golf. Tiger Woods has announced the early portion of his schedule. But Mark, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm great, man. Greg, honestly, I was looking forward to Torrey Pines. Now, not that it's news to anyone that Woods is committed, but I'm now really looking forward to Torrey Pines because now it's official, you know.
It's official. You're going to be out there covering it. When you think about Tiger Woods at Torrey Pines, I mean, what's your favorite memory that comes to mind?
Well, the U.S. Open in 08 has got to probably be the one. But honestly, you know, Torrey Pines a few years back was the side of a Tiger Woods comeback. And then you had the situation where he had to pull out mid-round. And I remember Todd Lewis from Golf Channel standing in the parking area speaking about how Tiger couldn't get the glutes activated, so the back tightened up and stuff like that. And I remember that not fondly. But now it's almost like it's a renewal for me. And last year I was on site for the event. He was sort of just going along there, mediocre sort of fashion. The scoring was low, which is out of the ordinary. But then put together a bogey-free 67 last year. And that was to sort of vault up to the top 20, I believe it was. And I looked at this going, man, he just put together a really stout round of golf when he needed to. Made himself relevant, hit the ball well, made putts that he needed to. And I was like, you know, this bodes well now. We were unsure as to what the season was going to hold for Woods. And he goes ahead and puts together a good finish there and plays okay at the Genesis a few weeks later. And then he wins the Masters just shortly thereafter. So I would say 2008 U.S. Open was big, but last year that final round was a big one for me because I was there.
And, you know, it's so funny that you mentioned that. I think last year going into the Farmers Insurance Open and this year going into the Farmers Insurance Open with Tiger Woods, we're in two totally different places. Last year, we had no clue what we were going to get out of Tiger. He had the Ryder Cup was a little bit disappointing, you might say. It wasn't a great go around for him. We didn't get to see him perform in a President's Cup the way he did. And it was kind of like he's getting shaking a little rust off from the offseason. But this year we saw him at the Zozo Championship in the wraparound season, get a victory, and that victory coming right off of a knee surgery where he took a little bit of time off. And then he goes out to the President's Cup where he's not only the captain, but in my opinion, the best player on the property, and he played some tremendous golf. And we have a feeling now that Tiger is ready to go. Even though it's the first event of the calendar year for him, it feels like he's in mid-season form. And coming into an event like this, I mean, Mark, what are you watching out for when you go and cover him on the CBS coverage at Torrey?
Well, honestly, just more of the same. I'd be surprised if he wasn't the favorite leading into this thing, but you've got the likes of McIlroy and John Rahm, who's been playing great, and Fowler will be making an appearance, and Justin Rose, last year's winner, will be back defending, and there's been lots of reports of Rose doing a lot of work. So I personally, from the reports I got about the golf course, apparently the rough is lush. Now, normally,
I've heard the same thing.
So, but it's very consistent, the reports are. So it's going to place a premium on putting the ball in play off the tee. And so for me, the main thing I'm looking out for is, because Tiger has driven the ball beautifully the last three rounds at Zozo and at the President's Cup too, and late last year at the Tour Championship drove it great. Not the Tour Championship, but the BMW. So I'm looking forward to more of this improved Tiger Woods off the tee, because by all accounts, if you spray the thing, you're going to have yourself a long week down there in San Diego. So I feel like if Tiger can put the ball in play, if he can drive it well, because the thing about the South course, the North course now too, since the redo, is you can't sort of gear down and just put the ball in play off the tee, because it's going to beat you up lengthwise. So if he can drive the ball well, his iron play is just always so good to those narrow targets, and he puts the Poania greens well, obviously growing up in California. I feel like if he can put the ball in play, it's going to be not one-way traffic, but he'll be around come Sunday afternoon. So that's the main thing I'm looking for. And then obviously I'm keen to see sort of how the North course stacks up, because typically you play one round at the North, you play three rounds at the South, and the players would get after the North course. But that's not the case anymore. And if you shoot anything sort of 68, 69, 67 around the North, you're doing good work. So I'm looking forward to seeing how both courses stack up against each other, with the South being the hardest. But the big deal for the Woods fans is he going to continue this really stout play accuracy-wise off the tee, like we saw at the Hero World Challenge?
And the interesting thing about Tiger and the driver is the change in his distance. If you ask Tiger about it, he's hitting the ball farther than he ever has in his life. But relatively speaking, he's no longer one of the longer hitters out there. And it seems like Tiger has kind of taken this new strategy. He's basically put in play this strategy of hit the fairways, put the ball in play, like you're mentioning. And when he does that, he's relying on the strength of his game, at least from a technical standpoint, and that's his iron play. So I think when you see a player like Tiger Woods drive the ball over 65% of the time in the fairway, he's going to bode really well. It's going to create a really good year for him. Last year, 65% of the fairways hit is a really big number for a guy like Tiger, and he was under 300 yards, which it isn't a commonality. But I agree with you. You get out on a course like Torrey Pines with really thick rough, and the greens have all these different sections on them, and they're covered by bunkers, and they get really firm at times, and you have to be really precise with your irons. Putting the ball in the fairway is something that's at a premium, because it's a big golf course, and it's hard to get in position where the ball is going to stop on the green from the rough. Even if it's hard to get yourself in a position where you have a wedge out of the rough. So on a big golf course like this, getting the ball in the fairway is definitely at a premium. And it's a golf course, obviously. You mentioned Tiger putting the greens really well. I heard once, I believe it may have been Johnny Miller, who said, hey, in California kids win in California because they know how to putt the greens. And you've certainly seen that with Tiger winning seven times at the Farmers Insurance Open and the additional U.S. Open. So we know that Tiger seems to be able to hit more fairways these days. It's going to put him in position to do pretty well here at Torrey Pines. What do you make of the distance that Tiger has going on, Mark?
Well, Greg, I mean, the truth of it is he's shorter than the Bombers, the DJs and the Kepkas and the Roy company. But he's not short by any stretch of the imagination. And he still flies the golf ball a pretty good ways in the air. For me, what I like, and it's helped the accuracy, and you as an instructor can certainly agree, it's a lot more level in action. You know, he used to have a lot of right side bend about him. And he said nowadays, after the back fusion, he's had to level off the golf swing some. So as a result, I feel like he's just become infinitely more accurate. And the truth of it is, with a smoother swing, he's able to hit the ball more squarely more often. So he's almost doing it more efficiently now than what, when he was younger, it was just brute athleticism and strength with a whole lot of dynamics going on. So I feel like he's this beautiful blend now of this 43-year-old-ish guy who's level, he's making balanced swings. He's Tiger 2.0 kind of thing with more balanced looking golf swings. And so when you come to a golf course like this, that not just asks questions of distance, it asks questions of accuracy, I think despite the prolific history at Torrey Pines, it almost sets up even better to him if in fact he comes in there feeling healthy and strong.
It's funny, because there was a time when Tiger won four in a row, and there was only one year in between outside of that. So he won He won 6 of 8 times in a stretch of 8 years at that golf course. And you're saying it sets up better. It's hard to imagine, but I understand where you're coming from because the golf swing is it's much different. You mentioned the right side, Ben, and we were talking about this on A New Breed of Golf just the other day. Do you think the fusion in his back, the physical fusion of the L4 and the L5, do you think that basically eliminates the ability for his body to bend in that way? Do you think he was forced into that, or do you think he wanted to level out that swing so he could hit a more consistent shot shape or become more accurate?
Well, that's a good question. I'm certainly no back specialist, but I would think it makes sense that with the fusion, it has forced him to be more upright, for lack of a better descriptor, with the spine. So I think some of it is necessity being the mother of all invention. But the one thing I know for sure from my experience with Woods through the years is he is a savvy competitor, man. And not only has he got the will of a champion, but he's got a great mind. He's got the heart of a lion. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
But he's just a really smart campaigner. And so I'm sure he looked through this all when he had time, but when he was down, and was like, okay, for me to be relevant in this latter portion of my career, this needs to happen. And of course, now he's making it happen just like he has in many years past.
Now, we mentioned the great success that he's had at Torrey Pines, and a lot of that comes from his ability with the golf club in his hands. But you mentioned his mind. He is, to me, the greatest tactician of a golf course. He uses strategy to his advantage, I think, better than anybody else on the PGA Tour. One of the reasons why he had so much success at Augusta National last year. A golf course, the other golf course that he's committed to, he's committed to the Genesis Open, which is somewhat obvious because it's his own tournament, but it's at Riviera. And Riviera is, of course, a rare course on the PGA Tour. Tiger Woods has never won at. Are you interested at all in the fact that Tiger's tournament is at a course he's never won at? And what do you think his chances are this year at Riviera?
Well, look, he's Tiger Woods, so you can't discount the guy, if he's healthy, of course. I think the fact that his event is at Riviera, because I think back to when he came out there as a young teenager and made his debut on the PGA Tour. And so it's almost come full circle, and now to be hosting his event at one of the great golf courses on the PGA Tour in his back garden, basically, where he got his first start. And even more importantly, having it be a 3-year exemption. So that's putting this event into the stratosphere where it's like Bay Hill and Arnold Palmer's event and the memorial with Jack Nicklaus. So you've got this elevated exemption. You've got a great golf course. You've got a place where Tiger Woods basically was introduced to the world's game, apart from the brief, appearances on television as a little tot. I think it's the perfect venue. And man, it's right outside of Hollywood. And they're going to have all sorts of folks out there, all of the glitterati showing up. And it's just, it's a great venue, so many great champions. I think it makes a lot of sense for Tiger to host at that place, despite his lack of success. But, that's easily changeable if he does what Tiger does.
Right. It only takes 1 year. We mentioned how smart of a golfer Tiger is. We know, too, that he's a pretty smart businessman as well. And that, it makes sense to be in L.A. for an event like that. So I understand that. The other thing is about the venue. Just because Tiger doesn't have great success at a venue doesn't mean he doesn't like the golf course. And I had a personal experience with this when I was working down at Medalist. A good friend of mine who also worked there with me was going to Wingfoot, and he's an assistant pro at Wingfoot now. And when he first got the job, Tiger happened to be there and overhear him say that he got a job at Wingfoot. And Tiger his head kind of snapped around. He said, "You're going to Wingfoot?" And Jared, my buddy Jared, said, "Yeah, what do you think of it?" Knowing that Tiger missed a cut at Wingfoot in 2006. And Tiger looked at him kind of with this. It was an intense look on his face. And he said, "I like a challenge, right?" And he kind of raised his eyebrows and gave a little smile. And he gave the sign that, yeah, I like that place. Even though I missed the cut there, Tiger likes a challenge. And it seems like one other thing that Tiger's got to get off of his list, you know?
Oh yeah, to break it down to the nuts and bolts of it all, if you put the ball in a decent position off the tee, you get the ball on the green, you make a few timely putts, you avoid at that level there, you just avoid penalty strokes. Then you're on your way, and you've just got to find a way to be one stroke lower than your nearest competitor. So just because Woods hasn't had success at Riviera, there are a number of factors that are brought to bear. It could be weather. It's one bad bounce. It's not like he doesn't know the golf course. And like you illustrate with the Wynn Foote example, he knows that at his best, he can beat anyone. He's proven it. Certainly, you know, he's got states like Ohio and Florida and California where it's happy hunting grounds for him. But, you know, again, like Johnny Miller said, it's in California, so he can putt those greens well. I feel like if he just – I feel like Riviera might have kept him off balance because, you know, that stretch of holes down the backside, I think of 12, 13, 14, a number of the holes bend from right to left, where Tiger, when forced off the tee, will go left to right. So you're fitting the ball against the camber of the fairway. But this new move that he has going on, he can sweep that draw pretty easy. And so I feel like he's primed to go and have a very big finish there because of the mental acumen, to your point, the fact that, you know, he's healthy, he's strong, and I think there's almost a renewed lease on life for him.
Which is pretty cool to see. It's funny how a 44-year-old Tiger Woods is in a position where, in this year, in my opinion, it's a year of first for him. There's going to be an opportunity for him to play in the Olympics, which is another interesting conversation I want to get into. A chance to win at Riviera for the first time, a chance to defend the Masters, which is going to be the first time in a long time for him to play a season as a major champion. And it's going to be the first time in a long time where he enters a season healthy, knowing full well that he's in pretty good shape with his body. So that renewed lease on life is, I think, very present with Tiger Woods as well. Now, looking deeper into the schedule, he has not committed to the WGC tournament in Mexico. Do you expect him to play in that? Do you think that he's going to like, what do you think the rest of this schedule for Tiger is going to look like after the Genesis?
That's a good question. You know, no one – that's the million-dollar question, I guess, too.
Right.
No one really knows. I was actually in Mexico last year for PGA Tour Live and I was covering the event and covering Woods for a couple of days, and he looked very comfortable. He looked like he loved the place. When I talked with him briefly, he said he loved the golf course. The people treated him great. So I don't know. Maybe he'll announce going down there to play because in a US Open year, you know, which selections are made by World Golf Ranking. You go to an event like that and it's guaranteed world ranking points. So for someone who's got the finality of a goal like the Olympics, which he's stated as a goal, it would make sense that one goes and plays these almost guaranteed points events. And last year he played solidly. Dustin Johnson lapped the field. So I think that you may see him play. No one knows for sure. Then beyond that, as we get into the Florida swing, you know, he'll be at Bay Hill. Obviously, we'll play the Players' Championship. And it's just what he mixes in around there to make sure that when he gets to April and Augusta National time, he's pretty well run. But, you know, as we look at things here, he's doing Farmers and then two weeks off, then Genesis. 2 weeks off would almost be the Mexico. Then another 2 weeks would be MasterCard. And then the Players, Arnold Palmer, I should say. And then the Players is right thereafter. So I have a feeling he may show up in Mexico, and I'm not so sure about the match play in Austin, but he will add something in there late before the Masters. So it remains to be seen, but I think we might see Tiger sort of once every 2 weeks as the schedule shakes out.
It almost seems too obvious. Like, you know, he's going to play Farmers, which he is. You know, he's going to play Genesis, which he is. The World Golf Championships, Mexico Championship, to me, is the obvious next choice because of that the free World Golf Ranking points you mentioned, and whether or not he likes the venue, I don't think that really matters. I think if that's truly his goal, Tiger's going to do whatever it takes to achieve that goal. So long as he's healthy, I think you'll see Tiger in Mexico. And then the Arnold Palmer Invitational, he didn't play last year. He withdrew because of a neck injury. I think you'll see him there, the Players. I think you'll see him at the match play as well. So a healthy Tiger is a Tiger that's going to play to prepare for the Masters, but he's also going to have the Olympics in his mind. I guess my only other question here is, how much of an impact do you think the Olympics has now at this point in the season? You're talking, it's February. We're thinking about some events that are going to happen in February. Do you think he's really thinking about the Olympics in the middle of summer, or do you think he's trying to prepare for the Masters, or is it some combination of both?
I wish I knew. I would say it's probably, you know, just thinking logically about it, I would say it's probably a combination of the both. But the one thing about Woods is he knows intimately what the competition is doing. He's very aware of, you know, what he's got to do through the years to play his very best when he needs to. So I would say right now the goal is to find some form leading into Augusta National. Obviously the Players Championship is a big one too. And then from there, I think you'll see him chart his course. But when he states a goal, it gets stated. I mean, as a kid, he had Jack Nicklaus's picture on the wall in the room. So if he's talked about the Olympics, I'm sure there's some plan that's been set in place to make sure that he is doing the right thing to improve his chances to make that four-man U.S. team.
Yeah, and it's a tight race behind him. I mean, you got Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay hot on his heels. In fact, Patrick Cantlay, last I saw, was ahead of Tiger in that top four for the Americans. So some work to be done. You know those guys are going to be playing a lot, and Tiger's going to have to play well to get on that team, because it's not like a Ryder Cup team. It's not like there's a captain selection. Stricker, you know, Stricker's his boy, right? You hear him say Strix all the time. Strix is going to take him on the Ryder Cup team no matter what. But this one, for the Olympics, it's just world golf ranking points. And sometimes, Mark, that can be a little bit hard to figure out. You know, do you remember when Brooks Koepka and Justin Rose were going back and forth? There were times when one of them wouldn't play. Justin Rose would sit out a week and then elevate to number one in the world. It can be a little complex. So, I just wonder how much it's really on his mind, how much focus he's really putting towards it, or if he's just saying, hey, if I do what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to be there in the end.
Well, there's some of that. I mean, we saw a couple seasons ago where everyone was talking about Tiger making the playoffs, and he had to play well at what was then the Bridgestone at Akron, the final one that they had there, and he had to have the big finish. He did. He earned just enough points to get himself into Carnoustie, where he nearly won. I mean, he was chasing Francesco Molinari all the way to the tape. And then from there, he parlayed that into the big finish at the end of the season in the Tour Championship. So he's been on the spot before where he's had to earn points. And so I think he's just taking this one day at a time, knowing that if he does Tiger Woods things, I mean, Tiger Woods results are likely to happen.
I couldn't agree more. Mark, I want to thank you so much for joining me on this emergency podcast with the big news of Tiger Woods. Farmers Insurance Open and Genesis Open are the next two times we will see Tiger Woods. I think it sounds like we both expect a wonderful 2020 for him. So we will definitely keep Tiger in the on the front page of our paper here. So I want to thank you so much for joining me. If you like what you heard today, make sure you jump on to rate and review the show right here wherever you watch podcasts, and we very much appreciate that. If you want to catch Mark Immelman on Twitter, he's at Mark_Immelman on Twitter, and I'm at TheRealGFD. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next time.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.